Never Change Your Life Changes Network presents a show about everything. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with unforgettable, ever-insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the real, inspiring moments of real-life journeys. This is a conversation that matters as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live, always remembering life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before with tonight's guest, executive producer Mark Skelton. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. And thank you, Mark. And happy birthday, Mark. this is exciting. Actually, you know, this is exciting. It's actually our producer, Mark Lejeune's birthday in 2 days. And so we decided this would be like his birthday show. And we said, who would you like as a guest? And as you know, your birthday guest kind of thing. And he chose Mark Skelton, who's not only a friend, he's an executive producer, and he also was the producer of this show. And it was a great choice because it's been a party here ever since that decision was made. And Mark Skelton said yes. And we've just been celebrating and having dinner together here. And we're going to have cake afterwards. It's just a lot of fun. And it's interesting that all these years later, because Mark started off producing with us when we first got started, and now he's on to other exciting things that we'll talk about. But it's interesting how we've not only remained friends, but we've supported each other's projects, and how we are envisioning such great things, not only for ourselves and each other, but so many other people that we're involved in. And it's great to come together again to share what it is that we're doing and how we see things changing. And it's interesting because I was thinking, especially maybe because I was thinking about this show and the kind of producers that I have, that we are in Mark and Dorothy and in Mark Skelton, actually, and in Lee Waterworth, actually, who is going to be joining us for the party a little later, and so many other people that are starting to put out some really great information and starting to produce some really great films. And it's interesting because I get to see so much in the making, but what am I trying to say? They are so different than some of the people, producers, executives that I have known when I first started in this business way at the beginning. And it was interesting to be reminded of that as I was getting ready for this show. About a week ago, I had lunch with a friend. And he's somebody in this business who knows a lot of people. And one particular person that he knows actually makes and breaks careers. And he's friends and works with some of the biggest stars with the biggest names that everybody around the world knows. And it's interesting that this friend of mine said that he ran across an actor that was really nice person, had looks, had talent, had smarts, had a great heart, and that he brought this person to this other person in the hopes that he could help them. And this person asked the actor what he thought about his work. And he said that he thought it was part of the old. He thought that he could do it a little differently, perhaps, and that he could maybe help change the consciousness of the world instead of telling people to do certain things the way he tells them to do. And this person said afterwards to this friend of mine, that kid will never work in this town again or ever. And I thought, wow, that's the kind of arrogance that has been running Hollywood, are used to, or some of it. Not everybody's like that. I've met other producers who are not like that at all, but that person will never work in this town. Maybe this kid did not know how to say what he wanted to say, but maybe he shouldn't have said it. Maybe he was tactless, but maybe he had something to offer that this person could have learned from. And I don't know. It just seemed like that's kind of, it just seems sad to me. So then I had a personal experience. I've had a lot of personal experiences around this, but just a couple days ago, I was at a Hollywood party. And I ran into a producer that I didn't know, but I knew of because we have mutual friends. And so I went up to him and I said, "Hi, I'm Filippo." And he doesn't know me and he doesn't owe me anything. And I didn't want anything from him. And I said, "So-and-so's our mutual friends. And we're both good friends with this other person." And I said, "You know, I just saw your work, blah, blah, blah." And he said, "That's nice," and walked away. Now, not everybody has to like me. Maybe I remind him of his brother or his mother or his father, and or maybe he was busy thinking of something. Maybe he was angry about something, and maybe I interrupted him. But there, at that point, there were not that many people left at the party, and there was nothing else he had to do. But he just didn't care to talk to me, and that's fine. But it was just, I just kind of got this air, like he rolled his eyes, he put his nose up, and like, "That's nice," and walked away. And I got a feeling like, okay, I'm not young enough. I'm not pretty enough for him. I'm not whatever enough, whatever. And all I wanted to say was what I liked about his work. Not an hour later, I was talking to an acquaintance of mine who's a vice president of NBC. And he saw me talking to him. All of a sudden, he came up and said, "Oh, so now who's this friend again? Who is this friend that's our mutual friend? Because, you know, because I know, and you look like you know." And all of a sudden, I was important because I was talking to the vice president of NBC. And I thought, wow, it's that kind of arrogance that has been running rampant in this city. And maybe, just maybe, we have new producers, new executives that are ready to step in the places where some of these people are. And maybe, just maybe, they're going to be doing it with more heart, with more consciousness, with more light, with more love. And maybe we will have a whole different kind of Hollywood here very shortly. So with that, I'd like to help usher that in, as we all do here at Life Changes, by inviting our guest, Mark Skelton, to be on the show in just a moment, right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. Ionways ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an Ionways ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. Ionways Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about Ionways Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook, and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
And I'm so excited because this is a man, our guest, who can make me laugh. Not a lot of people make me laugh. I like to laugh, so it's not like I don't want to. But even when I don't want to, actually, this guy can make me laugh. And it's a pleasure knowing him and his family and getting to work with him and seeing him do so many beautiful things out there in the world. Our guest is Mark Skelton, who's an executive producer, and he has done so much work with multi-million-dollar corporations and with private individuals. And most recently, he turned his attentions to the Al Gore current TV network, and he worked on For the Love of Skype, which became an award-winning two-part documentary, thanks in part to his work there. And he also most recently acquired the option or optioned the rights to the life story and world-renowned book about Peace Pilgrim. He has co-written the screenplay and is currently producing the feature-length movie based on her life. Now, before he says a word, because as soon as he does, then I'll never be able to say a word again for the next hour because he has got so many things to say. I want to take a minute and put out there into the universe as if this already happened and it was good and we're looking back at it as a way of manifesting what we hope or what we see as a vision. So I'm going to start off by saying, Mark Skelton, thank you for being on the show. We know you're so busy, especially after having just won the Oscar last night for Peace Pilgrim. How does that feel?
It feels amazing, Filippo. But I have to say, I didn't do it alone. It was a team effort. Last night, as you saw, I only got to thank 27 people, apparently. It's the longest thank you.
The music came on, and they still couldn't get you off.
Two security guards couldn't lift me. I'd been training for this for 6 months. I knew if you just act like you're a bag of cement, I learned this in the 99% Occupy protest. You just basically slump down like a bag of cement, and no matter how big they are, no matter how strong, they cannot move you. I managed to thank 27 people. It was a 16-minute thank you, and or as I call it, an expression of appreciation, because it really was a team effort, like every movie should be.
What was the who did you enjoy working with the most on the film?
I'd have to say my masseuse. Because I was so stressed throughout the whole shoot. At the end of every night, at the end of every day, is a lovely man. He lives in Santa Monica, has amazing hands, and he would de-stress me, literally. So I was ready for the next day. But Meryl was okay. You know, she's a pro. She turns up. She's never late. She usually knows her lines. And, you know, it took a while, a little bit of coaching, but she grasped the character eventually. And, you know, it's good working with professionals.
So if you haven't seen the movie is Peace Pilgrim. Meryl Streep is in the lead role as Peace Pilgrim. And actually...
Can I just add one thing?
But of course.
Because we shouldn't take... A lot of people are tricked by this because they think we actually used CGI to make Meryl, the actress, look younger, as they did in the case of Benjamin Button, right, with Brad Pitt. But what we actually did was we actually employed Meryl Streep's daughter, Grace Gummer.
Right.
And she takes her father's name. Her father's called John Gummer. I think it's Don. Don, maybe John or Don. I'm sorry, Don. But anyway, the Gummers are an amazing acting family. And Grace Gummer just looks like a young Meryl Streep.
Wow.
So we used Grace Gummer to play, this is just imagining now, just for any lawsuits out there.
There are no lawsuits.
Yeah, I know lawsuits, they don't exist. Not in Hollywood.
No, what we're doing is we're putting it out there.
Just making it clear.
Manifesting.
Allegedly. No, so what we did, the amazing thing about this project was that we had Meryl Streep playing the older Peace Pilgrim. And we had Grace Gummer, the daughter, playing the pre-Peace Pilgrim Mildred, who obviously before the transformation, before she stepped out on the 1st of January 1953, she was married, she was divorced, she had a job, she had money, she had accessories and attachments that she had to work through. It took her a long time for her journey to get her to the point where she could step out as Peace Pilgrim and then continue walking across the country for 28 years solid. Until 1981. It's an amazing story.
It is an amazing story, and I do want to talk more about it and share more with the audience. And, you know, as we're sitting here visualizing this and talking about it as if it already happened, because as of this particular date, Meryl has not as of yet said yes. But, you know, it's interesting that some people could say, well, you know, why would Meryl want to do this or whatever? You know, it's interesting. I was talking to, actually, you I think you know her as well, Penny Marshall, right? And I asked her how she got into producing. And she said, they just asked me. someone just asked me. All of a sudden, she's this award-winning producer because someone just asked her. And I bet all the friends of that person who just asked her probably said, oh, you'll never get Penny to do this, and she wouldn't do it, and she, but, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're just asking Meryl Streep. Exactly.
And there are a lot of parallels between Meryl Streep, the actress, and Peace Pilgrim, the character, the real life character. Her name was Mildred Norman. They're actually both, funnily enough, Meryl Streep and Mildred's family grew up side by side to each other in New Jersey. They're from neighboring towns.
Oh, really?
Meryl Streep's from New Jersey, and so is Peace Pilgrim. They're both Cancerians. They both look very similar, right? As I mentioned, we have Grace Gummer, who is perfect to play the young version, which we could never do. If you bring in another actress, it's never quite the same. But we've even got the same DNA playing the same character on film.
Wow.
Right? And Grace Gummer even has a sister called Mamie Gummer, who could play Peace Pilgrim's sister, Helene, who's 96 years old and still going strong and lives in New Jersey right now, not half an hour away from Summit, New Jersey, where Meryl Streep and her family come from. So many parallels.
That's so interesting. And, you know, now that you say that, you and I are both Cancerian,
mm-hmm.
and we both look similar.
I wouldn't go that far, but yes. Well, just check on the website and tell me what you think.
You can email
Filippo directly. With any donations you may feel you need to give him as compensation.
For what, a facelift or something?
I would never waste your money, Filippo. You're a very handsome young man.
All right, so but if you grew your hair, you'd look just like me.
That's true. Yeah.
And the only difference between you and I is the accent, really.
Yes, you're from England and I'm from America.
If you ever want to hear something funny, you should hear Mark do an American accent. But don't do it now. Let's save that for another interview. So Mark is from England, and you came here with this dream of along with other things, of doing this Peace Pilgrim movie. And the interesting thing is that for 28 years, nobody has been allowed to option the story rights, even though many have asked.
That's right. You
come and you just say, I'm going to do this. And they give you the rights or the option, the rights.
It's an interesting story because I'd like to give full credit to the whole story. And that is about 10 years ago, my sister bought me an amazing book called The Life You Were Born to Live by Dan Millman, who also wrote The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. And he's a big fan of Peace Pilgrim to the extent that he would hand out Peace Pilgrim pamphlets back in the late 60s at Berkeley when he was a student there. Coincidentally, when he was talking to Socrates, if you know the book, you know what I'm talking about. So basically, Dan Millman writes a passage in his book, The Life You Were Born to Live, all about service, selfless service.
Wait, when you mention Socrates, that's from the other movie.
That's from the other book. Based on his college days.
Right, which is called what?
The Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, yeah, okay.
Which is a movie as well, with Nick Nolte playing Socrates.
Right.
So, cut a long story short, I read the book, I read about this paragraph, and I had this amazing vision of this hybrid character. As soon as I thought, this is like Gandhi meets Forrest Gump, right? That's what I when I read this paragraph.
Actually, that's great.
That's what came into my mind, and so in that moment, I had this little daydream. I was living in London. I was working on another film, and I had no plans to come to America and no plans to come to California, and I literally had this little idea, daydream, where I saw myself jumping on a plane, hiring a car, driving up to Northern California, a place called Copperopolis, and knocking on the door of the headquarters of the Friends of Peace Pilgrim and saying, if there isn't a movie about this woman already, there needs to be, and I would like to write it. And this daydream lasted for probably 45 seconds. I even saw myself in a motel writing the screenplay of like for over 2 or 3 weeks, just like a very rough first draft, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd do all my research there, just get as much information and then come back and then do the rest over the internet. This was in the daydream, right?
Okay.
But, you know, daydreams are one thing, but it's interesting you should talk about manifestations and visions because it never turned out like that. It was, you know, that never happened. But
the result.
The result happened, yeah. And the life journey was very different. Mm-hmm. The life journey took several years. That was in 2002, right? Like I said, about 10 years ago. And then I didn't come to LA until 2006 on another project. Mm. And I fell in love with Los Angeles. And that's when I was... realize, you know, that's when I thought, well, England at that time was very difficult to get anything financed. There was a whole thing going on with the government and for film funding, basically. So I thought, well, if you want to make movies, there's no better place than Hollywood. So it was at that moment I made the decision to relocate, and that took a long time. And, you know, that's another story. That's another movie, actually. But we won't go into that just yet. So the bottom line was I reintroduced myself to the book by sheer chance yet again whilst meditating. I had another vision pop into my mind about me reading the book. And that's, again, another funny story. But I basically tracked down the Friends of Peace Pilgrim, contacted them. This was in 2007. And I was actually introduced by the Friends of Peace Pilgrim to another writer called Richard, who wrote a very good first draft or a very good second draft. But it just didn't capture the story. It just didn't get to the point where it could go. I was very impressed by it, and it was very good. But the Friends of Peace Pilgrim, they basically suggested to me that we get, take another look at the story and as the producer, obviously, try and find another way to tell the story. Mm. And so, again, this spanned over years. It just took a long, long time. But in that interim period, they signed over. They said, what do you need from me? And I said, as a producer, if I'm going to make this into a movie in Hollywood, the first thing that the money men are going to say is, do you have the rights? And should you be here actually trying to make this movie? You know, is somebody else going to make it? And so I explained this to the Friends of Peace Program, and they said, what do you need? And I said, well, the standard is to give a 2-year literary rights agreement, right? To give me 2 years to have exclusive rights. Mm-hmm. And they said, how about 5? Which was interesting because it's almost like they knew something I didn't know.
Interesting.
Because I'm now 3.5 years into that 5. Mm-hmm. Because like I say, it wasn't the day I got it. You know, it took a long time, and they wanted to get to know me. I went up to Copperopolis many times, and I met with
the president. So you did end up going
there.
Oh,
yeah, I did all of that.
Yeah.
And I did do the research.
Right.
And, everything happened. It just didn't happen as the daydream was envisioned, you know. But in real time, all of those plot points were met.
And, you know, and that's interesting that you should say that, because after this interview today, when we listen to it a year and a half from now, or whenever it is that the movie actually is made, the actors and actresses are set, mm-hmm. and the Academy Award is in your hand, and we're having this interview again in the third dimension, whether it's Meryl Streep or not, mm-hmm. and whether it's, you know, her daughter or not, we could end up saying something like, it ended up being so-and-so who ended up being better because, or so Dorothy, who, you know, spiritual advisor that she is, mm-hmm. as Dorothy Donahue, also our producer, has always said that you could say something like Meryl Streep or better.
Yes.
Right?
But that's where we come unstuck.
That's come again?
Because there's no one better than Meryl Streep. So maybe I should say Filippo Voltaggio or better. Because you do have the hair.
Wait a minute.
Okay, I'm just kidding. But no, that's good. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm not stuck on Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
I just haven't had Meryl Streep look me in the eye and say, I don't want to do this. And there's a little voice in my head that keeps saying, Meryl doesn't have the full understanding of this project. And the last thing I would want to do is meet Meryl Streep a year and a half down the road, and then Meryl say, why didn't you try harder?
Yeah,
I would have done that. You, why didn't you ask?
Right.
Why, coming back, hoping Meryl Streep would knock on the door.
Right.
You know, I do that a lot, but I also do other stuff in the third time reality in this,
and
I'll tell you what it is.
Did I ask?
Basically, no, but we've contacted her agent, we've contacted her publicist, we've contacted people who know her 2 degrees away, 3 degrees away. The journey has been amazing. So many people, but we've never had a definite answer from Meryl Streep. I don't know if Meryl Streep's ever read the script.
At least not yet, right.
Exactly.
And even at this level of the show, where we are right now, people still have a hard time getting to me because they don't know if they don't know me, then they don't know who, you know, so they try and find us on the website or whatever. And we put ourselves out there, but there's still a channel, and people even contact you about being on our show.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And then when they come through you, then it's like, okay, Mark Skelton said this, let's look at this person. So it's not that she's not, you know, that she would say no. It's like getting through it. So
yeah,
so
it's giving her the opportunity to say yes. That's how I see it.
Okay,
you know,
I like it. And so okay, so now we've put out that manifestation, and so when we come back, I'd like to talk about why this is so important. Why this is so important today, why did somebody walk, leave her husband, her children, her money, and just walk miles and miles across the United States? How many times?
She zigzagged across the U.S. seven times.
Seven times.
Canada twice, and most of Mexico.
Why would somebody do that? What effect did it have? Why do we want to look at a movie of it today, and how could it help us not only today, but in the kind of world that we are envisioning?
Mm-hmm.
So when we come back, we're having a conversation right now with Mark Skelton about the movie Peace Pilgrim. And also later on in the show, we'll tell you how you can get involved, how you can get in hold of Mark himself, or you can help bring people to the project. This is really exciting. So we'll talk more about that right after we do this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, FILIPPO.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back, and I'm Filippo, and our guest today is Mark Skelton, who has me cracking up during the show, during the break, and we're having so much fun. And this is what I'm talking about. This is what we're talking about, seeing more people have fun, living their bliss, while they're doing projects that help bring bliss to a lot of other people. And actually, that's where we left off. Is here we have a woman, Peace Pilgrim, who was known as Mildred something, and she leaves her family, she leaves her the money, her house, everything, and zigzags across the United States seven times, a couple times in Canada and Mexico. Why did she do this? Why is it important? And why do we want to see a film about it?
Well, you have to put it into context, I think. Firstly, she stepped out at the height of McCarthyism in 1953, when basically the whole nation, if not the whole Western world, was paralyzed by fear and apathy. If you think about it then, if you were considered a communist or a red, you would lose your job, you would be it would be completely taboo, and people would stop talking to you overnight. It was very draconian and almost 1984. People were informing on their neighbors, their work colleagues, anyone they thought might be a communist, because the fear was so strong that people were terrified that they were going to be nuked or, you know, have a nuclear bomb dropped on them while they slept, or more terrifyingly, while their children were at school. You may remember the duck and cover campaign they did, which I never understood.
What years was this?
1953, McCarthyism.
Yeah, no, I don't remember because I wasn't around. But
That's what you say. I have photographic. You met Peace Pilgrim on her first walk at the Rose Parade. You were 17 years old. You walked her first 5 miles with
Forrest Gump.
Yeah, your name was Forrest Gump, which actually is based on Peace Pilgrim.
Oh, really? That's
One day when he just... And I haven't had this confirmed. It's not in the book, but in the screenplay, it was adapted, obviously, because in the book of Forrest Gump, because Forrest Gump's based on a book, I don't know if you know that, and
yes.
The book is spelled B-O-O-K for those who don't have the subtitles.
Book.
At home, book. But basically...
I thought he was spelling out the title of the book.
Yeah. There you go. So now we catch up, Filippo. Come on, you need some new shoes. Just like Peace Pilgrim, kids. So basically, Forrest Gump, when he walks across the country, when he one day just gets up and leaves everything and runs across the country for many years, that's a nod to what Peace Pilgrim did for 28 years. Like I said, from 1953 until 1981. But the context, getting back to the context of the time, we can't understand it, right? This was a major threat. Every newspaper, every radio show, every TV show was talking about the communists. The communists are coming, right? The Reds are coming. There was Korea going on, the Korean War, where the communists were moving down through Korea. And look at the situation we have now where our country is divided because of the same threat. And Peace Pilgrim was actually working as a lobbyist in Washington at this time. And she was based in Philadelphia and would take the train in two or three times a week. And she would get into these heated debates with senators that would say, we need to start a comprehensive preemptive nuclear strike, which would mean whenever we suspect a country that isn't America that may be going pink or red, we should nuke them before they become communist. That's the only way we can stop communism. So Peace Pilgrim was saying... Are you insane? Did we learn nothing from Japan? You cannot go around dropping nuclear bombs on countries with the fallout and the pollution that's going to happen just willy-nilly. That's an English phrase. Just, you know, if you feel like it. And so basically, she was tearing her hair out. And, you know, there's a very funny scene in the movie where she's told to take a hike. And she actually did. She took it literally because she was getting to a point where she was at the point of exhaustion.
Wow.
And she literally became the first woman in history to hike the entire Appalachian Mountain Trail with only two sheets of plastic, some dried oats, and nothing else. And you know, literally the clothes on her back, no tent, nothing. And she hiked for one whole season, 4 months, 2,500 miles in the wilderness and survived wild bears, snakes, all kinds of, you know, literally drinking water, eating berries. She's a vegetarian, so she didn't take a bow and arrow and kill any deers or anything like that. So she was living off the land, literally. And when it rained, she would get under the plastic and she would make a bed of leaves. And this woman survived in the wilderness, like a true wilderness woman, for 4 months and managed the whole, from literally from north to south, the entire Appalachian Mountain Trail. And that was her first foray into... what you might want to call notoriety or fame, because she got her first radio show as a result of that. She got her first headline in a newspaper. And during the radio interview, she was asked, what's next? And she said, I'm going to do some optimistic hiking. And that basically meant I'm going to walk across the country. And that's when she started. She didn't have a name for it at that point. But it was actually the reason I mentioned the Appalachian Mountain Trail is because that's when she had the big mountaintop experience where she realized that's what she was meant to do for the rest of her life.
Wow.
She was 44 years old. That happened in 1952, and she stepped out at the end of 1952, and she stepped out on the 1st of January 1953 at the Pasadena Rose Parade. And this is the irony of this: the guest of honor, the master of ceremonies, whatever he's called, the man who's on the float, the person who's on the float for that year, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with this.
Yes.
It was actually Nixon, the soon-to-be President Nixon. Because he was the vice president. In 1953, he was sworn in as the vice president under Eisenhower. And so Peace Pilgrim jumped the queue and she ran in front of Nixon illegally and, like, you know, literally went under the rope. And she was pretending to be part of the parade, handing out her leaflets, trying to get people's attention. And the police actually chased her off and were like, what are you doing? And they thought she was just some kooky, crazy old lady that was just, you know, being. But then she, you know, she had this way about her and she just sort of, you know, talked very politely and smiled. And, they, you know, she never got arrested. She actually ended up having a lot of, she was actually in the LA Times. She was on the front page of the LA Times the next day.
Wow.
Talking about a woman walking for peace. And she was a very good publicist. She did great self-PR.
So that there you go. You don't even have to say anymore, though. We want you to. That says exactly why this is so important today, because somebody could be doing that now, or we could just be using her as an example and just be watching it. It's a story that obviously needs to be told because this is happening today. More people are needing to be aware of some of the things that are being done that we might not want to.
You could argue that today's environment, you replace communism and with the word terrorism, and you have the same dynamic. Wow. You have the same parallel. We're apathetic. 2001, the Twin Towers. People are terrified now. The government can take away your rights based on their excuse or their reasoning, saying they're going to this is for your own good, right? And that's very similar to what happened during the communist threat, which lasted for decades in America. And, you know, people were blacklisted and all the rest of it. So just think about it now. You know, your rights have been taken away just very slowly but surely. And it's like, it's like this grandfather approach. We're taking care of you. It's for your own good, right? And that sort of seems to be the problem that people are just so, the problem's so big. The problem of terrorism is so big to get your head around. It's much easier to become apathetic and just focus on your day-to-day life. Because let's face it, if you've got a family with children and a job and your mortgage is going down the toilet, then, you know, there's other things you want to focus your time on. Not everyone can just give everything up and walk across the country. Although I have to say, dozens of people have since Peace Pilgrim did it in 1953. And there's a woman doing it right now, walking to Washington.
Wow.
And it's, there's so many, I mean, and there's even, you know, there's even... a young boy, a 12-year-old boy, just completed his first cross. He walked coast to coast, did exactly the same route as Peace Pilgrim after watching the Peace Pilgrim YouTube clip.
Wow.
And he's founded a charity called The Little Red Wagon, and there's a movie coming out in about a month. Which is a feature film which features Peace Pilgrim. They actually sent us the script and asked us to sign off the rights that they could use the clip from YouTube. And obviously we said yes, because it's great for awareness. We want everyone to know about Peace Pilgrim, right?
I
met Zach. I walked in from Beverly Hills with my son Kingston. He was in the pram. And I met him about 2 or 3 miles outside of Santa Monica. And we all walked in as a big group and walked under the Santa Monica Pier, just as Peace Pilgrim did and just as Forrest Gump did. And we met the mayor of Santa Monica, which is Bobby Shriver, and a big group of people. And we had an amazing celebration all day there. And he was 12 years old and he walked across the country with his mum following in a van.
It's inspiring. It's timely. And it's so you, in the sense that you have put so much into this, like most producers do, but there's something else that this is something that you believe in from the heart. And if you're believing this in your heart and you want to know how you can get more involved, of course you could always go to lifechangeswithfilippo.com to learn more, because we're going to update as we go, and at lifechangesnetwork.com. But you can find Mark Skelton on Facebook, Mark Skelton, Skelton. And it's the one where there's the image of Peace Pilgrim on the timeline there on Facebook. So Mark Skelton on Facebook, and go where Peace Pilgrim is on the timeline. And then in the future, there's a website being created right now, and all kinds of groups and stuff. So as they come out, we'll be informing you. So stay tuned at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. We're going to break early because, as you know, Mark, our friend and producer Mark Lejeune steps in usually at the end for about 10 minutes and we do a wrap up without the guest. But since we're all friends and since there's more we can share together and we have a great dynamic, we decided let's break early, let's bring Mark on and keep you here, and let's all have some fun together right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Back. I am Filippo, and this is now the producer's wrap with Mark LeJour. And we've happily been able to keep Mark Skelton on. Actually, we're going to get to keep you all night and party and have a good time. But in the meantime, let's have some fun now.
We have producers.
More fun.
Past and present.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's good to be back.
Good to have you on. It's been quite a journey with this show and watching it evolve since you were so instrumental at the beginning. And always nice to see you two in a dialogue. It was a great discussion because you're doing great work with Peace Pilgrim.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, I loved every minute of working on the radio show, but I was getting to the point of exhaustion. I had a newborn baby. I had Peace Pilgrim in its infancy as well. And this was just taking off so quickly. And it was, you know, we were doing live events, one a month. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like major. I mean, I think the last live event we did was at Universal Studios, right? At the Hilton.
Yeah.
And to a packed house with like 200 people there or something. It was
more than that,
yeah. Ever the producer. 5,000 people came to that one. Unbelievable.
Well, that's right. In the spirit of manifestation, 100,000.
Yeah. We took over the Wembley Stadium the following week in London.
Why not? Because you know why I like to talk like that? Because when that happens, that's not only great for us, but it's great for so many people. Because just like they're going to be saying about the film, they were saying about those live events. How many people left as soon as we were done? None. They would stay for hours.
Yeah.
The hotels would have to kick us all out.
I think that was one of the major reasons for my exhaustion. Because we did used to leave at about 2 a.m. and then I had a newborn baby and didn't get any sleep, and the next day we'd do it all again.
No, it's true, but the reason I brought it up, not because of your exhaustion, was because it was obviously serving people. There was community there.
Oh,
they felt like
that
there were people that understood them.
Well, just remember we had the tables where people could come literally sell their wares or inform people of what they were working on. We met some of the most amazing people. You know, we're talking cutting edge, talk about life changing.
Yeah.
We're talking about sci-fi, Star Trek stuff, right?
All kinds of gadgets.
I'm sure you are.
People. Yeah.
I know you are. Yeah. I just feel a bit left out now because, you know, you don't call, you don't write.
Well, we write.
Yeah. 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 But not to me.
Oh, that's
yeah.
And actually, Mark LeJour just has brought some really interesting people coming up real soon here that I'm looking forward to. We've got some great stuff. We've got David Icke coming up. We've got Greg Braden coming up.
Nice.
I mean, I should say you helped us get started on the right foot.
The people from HeartMath, the Global Coherence Project,
talking
about sci-fi. Really
science. Well, I've just seen the roster of, you know, I looked at the website the other day I pop in every now and then, obviously, and you've had some amazing guests these last couple of years. It's really exciting that everyone sees the value in it. And then don't you think it just feeds into itself anyway? Because the bigger the name you have and the more important the work, then that becomes part of the energy of the show, you know, the history of the show.
Absolutely.
And then it helps you get the bigger names, because it's like, we've had this person and that person and that person, and that's when, you know, like starts to attract like, everything's energy, right? Everything's just magnetic.
And we have Meryl Streep next week.
Perfect. Well,
congratulating her on her Oscar.
That's amazing. I mean, I don't have any projects that she's good for right now, but I mean, if you can get her number, I might need her in the future. We're thinking of doing Peace Pilgrim too, but just the script's a bit of a problem.
So Mark Lejeune, you had, I actually, not only HeartMath, but there are a couple other people that you've mentioned, to me at least, that we're going to have on the show that we haven't talked about. But of all the people that you know and all that, you wanted Mark on for your, like, this birthday show. And I thought that was actually really cool.
I just thought it'd be a good opportunity to get back together, right? It was a good reason for us to connect and spend some time. We don't get to see each other enough these
days.
That's
very true.
And I see how committed you've been to Peace Pilgrim and how things seem to be, you know, picking up steam and your vision's starting to be realized. And you know, we just have situations like this where it's a birthday or, you know, it's always a kind of a good reason for it. Introspection. And I thought it'd be good to get on and connect and talk a little bit and share some of that energy.
Definitely. Now, I'm glad you thought of me, because it's always too long, you know, in between. Because, you know, I see Filippo every now and then. I see Dorothy sometimes, but it's been a long time since we were all in the same room together. And, I mean, ever since that incident in the cabin.
There was no incident in the cabin.
It took me a long time to forgive Filippo, put it that way.
If there was any incident, it would have been at the Integratron. Well, that's where an incident
was. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it was the, you know, when somebody burns pancakes.
All right.
That's it's a very difficult, you know, that
I'm actually trying to remember if I actually burnt a pancake, but I don't think I did. But,
yeah,
but,
but what's the first stage? But, is it denial?
The funny thing is that you're talking about, we're talking about these great projects, right? Mark and I are talking about all these great people that we're having on the show. You're talking about all the work that you're doing with Peace Pilgrim, and you're too meeting some amazing producers and all that. And yet we don't have time for each other. And it's interesting. That's how I know we're really trying to put stuff out there for the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the ways.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. They said that, I mean, I'll put it out there, you know, to all the listeners and to Mark and Filippo, but do you feel the different energy in 2012? Like around the project, do you feel there's a speed and an ease and that, you know, like the manifestation to me seems to be so sudden, almost instantaneous.
Yeah, you're seeing, whether it be positive or negative, depending on where your thought process is, but a quickening of the manifestation.
Yeah.
But what I've really taken note of is there just seems to be obviously the awakening, you know, where you're seeing people that don't even realize that they're looking at things to, you know, different than what they have typically, or from the perspective that they have typically seen.
Right, right.
You know, of course, there was all the Occupy stuff, you know, this kind of people wanting to stand up for, they don't even know what yet, but just
right.
They need to stand up. But I think the nuance, it goes beyond that now. So you're starting to see it in much greater numbers.
Yeah, from my experience, the people I know that I would consider head people are having the toughest time. And the people I would consider heart people, or people that feel their way through life, are finding a lot of things just opening almost magically. And, you know, like I would even say that some of my mental friends who are very successful and very wealthy, and, you know, they've got all of the material things that you would put, if you pigeonholed them or tick the boxes, you would say they've got the house, you've got the car, you've got the money, but they're actually, it's almost like they're running around like headless chickens, simply because they're in their head, you know?
Mm.
And it's like, and it's the people I meet who are calm tend to be coming from the heart and see, and they're wearing a very different filter, and they have a very different perspective on the reality. And again, it may be conscious or unconscious, because they're just naturally heart people, right? But I know this a lot, like up the whole spectrum of people that I know, be it producers or just people that have their own businesses. It's nothing to do with the entertainment business. But there's definitely a change going on. And I think that's a good thing if the people in their heads start to realize that and get down into their hearts and then start really breathing again.
You know, and I'm glad you said this because it reminded me of what I said during the monologue about it's that kind of arrogance, you know, that that producer said or that executive said, and I'm thinking okay, so maybe that it's true. We've thought of that as arrogant, but on the other side of the flip side of the coin, they've thought of that maybe as cool. And maybe they've been told, you know, that's cool. You could do that, and ha ha, isn't that cool? And I totally shut him down. And there are things that we used to think are cool, and now they're not anymore. So there was a time when we used to call people certain names, and now we don't think it's cool to do that anymore. So like if your father or your grandfather said a word, you can go, Dad, we don't really use that word anymore. Well, I don't mean anything by it. Yeah, well, but still, we don't use it. We don't act that way anymore in this certain age. So maybe this producer, I'm not saying he needs to like fall off the face of the, you know, these people. She's like, maybe they get the hint that that's not really cool anymore.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's like, it's opening up your heart and letting the brain serve its function, letting the mind be a tool, but don't let it drive the bus, you know? Let it tell you how many miles you need to go and the speed you need to go, but actually drive and have the journey from the heart and let that be the destination in itself. Every moment in your heart is always the destination, right? So I'm finding with Peace Pilgrim, the more, and I think I told you about this, I've met more influential people in the last 6 months for the Peace Pilgrim project by taking time out off the phone and off the laptop and taking my son to the playground.
Right.
We joked about this. Yeah. And we said maybe the playground is a portal. You know, maybe that's where you go down the slide and you enter an alternate reality. And this is where, and I'm not kidding you, I'm talking major, major famous people or multi-millionaires or billionaires who are there with their children. And we have no idea who we are. And we connect through our children and we play through our children. And at the end, we have this really strong urge to share numbers. And it's like, should we stay in touch? Yeah. And we always use the excuse that it'd be a great play date. But then we start emailing each other. So what do you do exactly? And then we have the adult conversation. But we start from the heart. And then we come back to the mind. And, you know, we've talked about this for months now, right? When we do talk.
Well, even more than that. And always. I mean, wouldn't you know, we're here to talk about Peace Pilgrim and he goes straight to the heart and all this 2012. And that's just who you are. That's why I say there's an extra something you put into this film. But as far as the children are concerned, I got the most response of any Facebook post that I can recall. When a year or something ago,
the avocado incident,
right with Kingston,
he had it all over his face.
He had avocado all over his face, and Mark took Mark Skelton took a picture of me and his son together. He having avocado all over him, and I posted it on Facebook saying I had a very important meeting with the mover and a shaker today, and that was Kingston, his 2-year-old son at the time.
Yeah,
and. People like, absolutely, you get it. You get it, right on. And Mark's got a 2-3,
all right?
Four.
Four.
Is he four now?
He's four now.
When was he? Wow. Oh, January the 15th. 16th. There you go.
So you've got these stories too. He'll call and said, I just had this experience with my son who either it's because they're children. You guys help me with this. Is it because they're children or are the children tuned into something else right now?
Oh, definitely tuned in. I mean, I think all children at all times in the evolution of humanity were the most tuned in beings of the human race. That's their purpose, right? You know, they're the net. It's like, you know, look at the phone. It's 4S. It's the 5S, whatever you want to call it, right? It's the, just like we do it with technology, it's new and improved.
Yeah.
Just like the children come through new and improved with, just so you know, they have the software. Kingston uses my laptop faster than I do. And he's 2. Kingston's still 2. He's 3 next month, right? He's a 2-year-old kid and has been doing this. He goes through he takes photos and videos of himself on the laptop and he goes through the iPhone and literally selects images, finds the game he wants to play and sits there playing the game. It's mind-boggling when you think about it that they just have the built-in software to use whatever Bill Gates had in his mind what's his name? Steve Jobs, rest in peace, or whoever was coming up with this technology.
Right down your alley with software.
Mm, that's what, we've talked about this a few different times in the show, but that's that programming aspect that you talk about. I believe that.
Yeah.
I think you bring forward cell memory and that there is an access to that greater universal mind, that mainframe, if you will.
Yeah.
And so you're right. It's not, I think it's a coupling of the fact that the software is evolving and upgrading, consciousness is expanding, therefore there's more access to information and more access more quickly to learning. But then beyond that, I just lost my train of thought.
Well, you had the software. What else would go with the software? The hardware?
You have the software upgrade, but no, then it's also the reprogramming that's going on because they're not getting the notes. That's where I was thinking. Is back then when there was a limited perspective or more limited perspective from parents and grandparents and things. You're getting no,
right.
More fear-based. Whereas now there is an encouragement in their learning and an encouragement and an understanding that they're connected and understanding, so there's, I think that, aware gets more aware,
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, so to go back to your point, Filippo, the children have an awareness and it's not a conscious awareness where they have a glint in their eye. It's just their natural state of being. Mm. They're here to play. Mm. They teach you what's important. They help you remember what's important. And if you think you have to be on the phone for 2 hours trying to make things happen, and then you just surrender and say, you know what? No, I'm going to go to the playground and spend some quality time with my son. And then you bump into a guy who's famous or loaded or connected. And the synchronicities, that's the word we haven't used. The synchronicities. This 2012 for me has been the year of synchronicity so far, right? Mm. Like beyond, I've always been connected to synchronicity. A lot of that's happened in my life, but never to the extent where it's a daily, sometimes multi-daily.
Actually, we all met through synchronicity, and it's funny to
is she now? Is she back in Japan?
Synchronicity.
Yeah, that was her name, right?
It's interesting interesting how we can trace
back. Trying to lighten the mood a bit,
If it wasn't for this and it wasn't for that, then we wouldn't have met. But you know what? I was thinking.
It's not the cabin, right?
What are we doing having? What are we doing having you on the show? We should have had your son.
He's in the other room.
Other room, actually, and I can hear him, and he's playing, and I can hear that our other friends have arrived, and they're all ready to party.
I think he's playing that beautiful violin you just gave him.
I think he broke the beautiful violin I just gave him, but with that, but obviously he's connected, and he knows that it's supposed to be
well,
like
that. Well,
he
actually has the violin iPhone app.
Oh, that's
you don't need the real thing anymore.
You don't need the real thing.
You play it with your fingers now. Yeah, it's
Well,
technology.
Happily, we've had the real thing of enjoying each other's hearts and minds and voices and energy today for this show. Thank you, Mark Lejeune, for inviting Mark Skelton onto the show. And thank you for having a birthday. And thank you, Dorothy Donahue, for producing the show, and Seth Hendricks for engineering. And thank you, Filippo Voltaggio, for being such a great host. And so with that, I want to thank
I'm so modest.
I want to say thank you all for being part of the show and part of the beautiful world we all wish to see, or beautiful changes we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone. Ciao.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Change the world. Now's the time.